All right, if you have your Bible, please open to Deuteronomy chapter number 5, the fifth chapter of the book of Deuteronomy. We've been talking about the Ten Commandments. Tonight we're going to look at commandment number 3. Commandment number 3. It's a short commandment, but it's a very powerful commandment. All the commandments are very powerful. All of God's Word is very powerful. When I think about this third commandment, I think about there's two of the Ten Commandments that are connected to speech. I think about speech. I think in the two commandments we're made known that speech is a gift. And we can use that gift to bring God honor and glory, or we could use that speech to bear false witness and to desecrate the most precious name that's ever been given to man, the name of God. Tonight we're going to talk about the name of God. Names are very important, aren't they? They're very important. You know, there was a day back in Bible days, and even today, it's kind of carried on through, where parents would name their children with a message. Sometimes they wanted the name to reflect the character of a child or the ambition that the parent had for the child. Now, today, most people name their children because they like the way it sounds. You know, they just like the sound of the name. Some people are so into names. We talk about names in our family a lot. And some people are so concerned about the acronym, you know, of a name, of the first name and the middle name and the last name and what it might, you know, be and this and that. And they really thought it through, so much so that they've narrowed it down to where they could get to choose from two names. That's their options, you know. I mean, they've really given it a lot of thought. Names are important, but there's none more important than God's name. I think about how that names in the Bible speak of character, nature, the nature of someone. Think about Adam. You know what Adam's name means? It means ruddy, red, red man. That's pretty appropriate since God made him from the dust of the earth, right? Yeah. You say, does Adam's name mean that? Look it up. It does. You know what your name means? I've never thought about it, preacher. You ought to think about it. You ought to look your name up and see what it means. Maybe your parents had something to tell you that they never could get the courage to tell you. You know what Eve means? What's Eve mean? Life giver, or the mother of all living. That's what Eve means. You see how names mean something. Well, the name of God means something. Now, I haven't counted, but I've read by about a half a dozen people or more, and they all say that the name of God, there's over 300 names of God just in the Word of God. Over 300. Now, why would God need so many names? There's not 300 gods. This is not some third world country. This is not some cult. This is the one true and living God. And yet there's many, many names that he goes by. Why is that? Because there's no way we can wrap our mind around who God is. See, God wants to manifest himself. Just like your name means something and has a message to it, God uses his name to manifest himself, to identify himself, to declare himself to us. And so he's chosen names that tell about his character and tell about his nature so that we can get some kind of comprehension of who God is. Our little finite minds cannot really comprehend God. But when God condescends to our level in his word and he tells us his name, it's through his name that we learn about his nature. And we learn about his character. And we learn some wonderful things about God that way, don't we? What do you know about God?
Everything I know about God, I learned from His Word. You say, well, you've never learned anything that somebody told you about God? Well, sure I have, but they got it from His Word. If they didn't, then it may not be so. It probably isn't so. And so I narrow it down to what I know about God, I get from His Word. What do you know about God? Can I tell you, you could just about trace everything you know about God back to one of His names? That's right. I want to take just a few moments as we look at, I hope you're at Deuteronomy chapter 5. I want to read just one verse of Scripture. And I got to tell you, when I was giving some thought to this over the past several weeks as I've been studying through the book of Deuteronomy again, and then I've just spent some time on these Ten Commandments, I'm concerned about the language that our country in particular, but even around the world, in particular among our young people, the filthy gutter language. You know, you can tell a lot about a society by the words they use. God says that He doesn't take it lightly. Now, some folks laugh and they scoff and they mock, but I want to tell you something. God doesn't take it lightly when you use His name lightly. When you defame and desecrate the name of God, He doesn't take that lightly. I don't take it lightly when others do. I don't like it. And I don't want to be guilty of it. You say, well, preacher, could you be guilty of it? Well, I don't know. Let's talk about that. Look, if you would, in verse number 11, Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse number 11. Thou shalt not take. Now, I want you to notice it doesn't say use. It says take. Because I believe that while this commandment certainly, predominantly warns us about speech and language, I think it also could have to do with the lifestyle. You could misrepresent God. You could defame or desecrate the name of God by claiming to be something of His and living something that is absolutely contrary to what you're claiming to be. And somebody says, well, you know, I thought he was a Christian. And if that's what a Christian is, then I don't want anything to do with it. Well, you've defamed the name of God. You've misrepresented Him to someone. And so He didn't say, thou shalt not use the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Then I think it would probably be, well, isolated down to just the one thought, and that is the speech. But I think you can take the name of the Lord, and I think you can either through your speech or through your lips or through your living, you can misrepresent or you can defame that. And you can cause people to have improper thoughts about who God is. And that's really what we're being warned against here. Do not misrepresent me, God is saying. Actually, these first three commandments are all kind of wrapped around that thought, aren't they? Don't have other gods, right? Don't bow down to them. You bow to me. I'm the one true and living God. You bow to no other God. Isn't that what He said? Can I tell you, God's the only one that you should bow to. We bow to no man. Amen. We bow to no idols, no graven images. God's serious about this, brethren. This is not just some religious rhetoric. This is the Word of God. God's serious about these things. And I want to be serious about what God is serious about. I believe you do too. So He said, thou shalt not, verse 11, take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. That word vain means empty. Just void of substance. Just meaninglessness. Flippantly. Right? Frivolously. Lighthearted. It's just vain. And He said, you don't take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. I want to share a few things with you. I'll go ahead and do it now. When the scribes were writing down the Word of God, when they came to a name of God, they would bathe, they would change their garments, they would get a new quill. They would not even write the name of God with the quill that they had been writing with in the past because they so honored the name of God. Where has that gone? See, most of the time when someone mentions, well, that person used God's name in vain, they're thinking that they said God and then put the word damn at the end of it. Listen, we all know that God's last name is not damn, okay? But that's not the only way. Now, that is, God said, I will not hold you guiltless. But that's not the only way God's name is used in vain. Did you know the word gosh is just another word for God? Golly, darn, dang, gee, just another word for Jesus. I don't believe that, preacher. But you need to study words a little more. You may be using some words that God doesn't want you to use. We need to teach our children good vocabulary. You don't say, oh my God, I swear to God. You see, when we think of using or taking the name of the Lord in vain, we think of that one phrase and we think, well, I've got that locked down. I'm good to go. Well, now, be careful now. I'm telling you, crudity, profanity, vulgarity has slipped in, brethren. It slipped in. And it's at every hand. And we have to put walls and we have to put guard up and say, I'm not going to buy in to this slang gutter talk. Amen. You say, well, I don't use it, but my children do. Teach them better. Amen. Say amen with me. Teach them better. Teach your children not to use that filth. Teach them a vocabulary. Teach them to use words that would be becoming to who they are. There was a day when the family name meant something. Right? Yes. See, the name means a lot. You ever heard somebody say, well, he's got a bad name? That doesn't mean they don't like the way it's spelled or the way it sounds. It means their character. The same with a good name. Yeah, I've heard about that fella. He's got a good name. That doesn't mean they like the way it sounds or it's got a special ring to it. It just means it's attached to that person's character and their wherewithal. Well, it's the same with God. And God says, when you think of me, when you use my name, you need to use it in reverence. My name stands for something. It stands for who I am, God said. And so I want to be careful. And I want to warn you to be careful. Be careful. Because the devil can slip in and we'll be doing things and saying things that we shouldn't do and say. And the devil will be laughing and we're defaming the name of God and not even know it. You do know that there's sins that we commit that are sins of ignorance. Yes. And God will shed light on them. Right? And so he says here, you say, now, preacher, I'm not so sure that I know about all that. Well, you should now. I just told you. But second of all, if you're unsure about it, go home and study it. Look it up. Get your dictionary out. Look at these words. They're called euphemisms and colloquials. Listen, they're words that try to take the abrasiveness off of something that people won't accept, and they try to slip in on you. Yeah. And so when somebody's saying, and I won't say it, GD, they're just saying, gosh darn it. Now listen, they might as well just go and say it. And I hate to even repeat it. I feel dirty even saying it. But somebody's got to say it. Our kids are running around using it like it's everyday language and it's acceptable. Shouldn't be acceptable in your home. You shouldn't filter that stuff in on the tube. Amen. Your children will pick that stuff up. And they'll be running around using it, and the parents will be giggling and laughing. Well, listen, I'm going to tell you what follows vulgarity and profanity. All right? Immorality. Okay? I've been doing this a little while. I didn't just, you know, fall off some pumpkin wagon driving through town. This is things that there's patterns, and we have to be cautious. All right? And so I'm not mad at you, I'm not angry at you, I'm not indicting you, I'm warning you, I'm trying to teach you, I'm just saying, hey, as Christians, let's be careful not to use God's name in vain. We would think, well, I would never do that, preacher. And I prayed that you would not. But sometimes we have to know what it is in order not to do it. Some folks just need to clean their speech up. That's right. Some folks just need to clean their speech up. The Bible says we're not to use corrupt communication. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of thy mouth. Jesting and foolishness, these things, brethren, ought not be so for the born-again child of God. It's a bad testimony. And it's hard to get somebody to take you serious about Jesus when you're using this kind of language. And so the Bible says in verse number 11, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Now what's God saying? God said, I'm going to judge you for it. I'm going to find you guilty. I'm going to judge you for it. Don't take the name of the Lord in vain. Let me give you about three quick thoughts and I'm going to be through, okay? Number one, I want to describe to you God's name. Just going to give you a few illustrations of how wonderful God... I don't want to make this all negative. God's name is wonderful. God's name is wonderful. Actually, in Isaiah 9, it says he's wonderful. Counselor, right? The mighty God, the everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. God is Elohim. He's Creator. He's Adonai. He's El Shaddai. He's the Breasted One, brethren. God just continues to reveal himself through his name. I want to give you some things that I think would be of an interest to you that maybe would whet your appetite a little bit and cause you to further study what's called Jehovah titles. Okay? So, even before Moses went to God and said, Moses, I'm going to go back. I'm going to do what you said do, and I'm going to tell Pharaoh to let your people go. He said, but I know that they're going to ask me. Your people's going to ask me, who sent you? He said, so who shall I say that sent me? And he said, you tell them that I am had sent thee. Amen? What's that mean? It means Yahweh, the self-existing one. It's where we get our word Jehovah in the translation of the English in the scripture. And there's Jehovah titles in the Bible that tells us who God is. And who God is to us. I want you to turn to just a few of them. All right, Genesis 22. This is a very familiar passage of Scripture. And God said, I want to reveal myself in a new way to you, Abraham. Now, God's been doing this all through his walk with Abraham. It is amazing to go through and see how God reveals himself in his name to Abraham. A new facet about who he is. Brethren, I want to tell you something. I hope you'll listen to this. Sometimes I think that we really don't get hold of who God is. God, this is a big deal, all right? We're not talking about a God you can put in your pocket. This is not a God you sit on a shelf or, you put a cross up or a picture. This is the God who spoke everything into existence. All right? You think about that for a moment. Those myriad of stars that you see on a clear night, I mean like hundreds of thousands, millions and billions. Listen, innumerable stars in the sky, God put those there. All right? And all the planets and the solar systems and the complexity of the human body and the human brain that, listen, is more sharp, well, most people's are, mine might not be, that as a, than the most powerful computer that there is. The human mind, the brain that God made is a wonder that cannot be figured out. Why? Because God can't be figured out. That's why. See, that's the God I'm talking about. I'm not talking about these little gods that people walk up and kiss their toe. That's not who I'm talking about. In Genesis 22, the scripture, in verse number, look at verse number 14. Genesis 22, verse number 14. This is a Jehovah title. All right? Verse 14 says, and Abraham called, and I'm not going to go through all the background. I hope you know the background of this, where Abraham took Isaac. Pastor Brandon taught in Sunday school not long ago, where Abraham took Isaac to the Mount Moriah, and he offered him there. And the name of the place, of that place, he named it Jehovah Jireh. Now, here is a Jehovah title. Now, what does it mean? Well, it means in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen or it shall be provided. It means God shall provide. Now, wait a minute. Yes, God will provide. Listen, I'm glad God provides. But in the context of Scripture, it's saying God's going to provide the perfect sacrifice. We're going to be able, are you listening? We're not going to have to sacrifice. God sacrificed for us. And God said, I want you to know that about me. I'm going to sacrifice for you. Amen. I'm glad God reveals himself to us that way. I'm glad God revealed himself to me that way. God said, I'm not going to ask you to sacrifice for me. That's what all the other gods out there do. Throw your children in the fire. Sacrifice this, sacrifice that. But God said, I want you to know that I am going to sacrifice for you. Amen. I'm glad I know that about God. And so he said, in that place, the name of that place is Jehovah Jireh, verse 14. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. What? The sacrifice. The Lord shall provide. That's what Jehovah Jireh means. Turn over, if you would, to Exodus. Now, we're not going to go through every one of them. I just want to look at a few of them. Okay, turn to Exodus just for a moment. Exodus chapter number 15. Would you turn there? And I'll give you just a few of these, because I hope this will whet your appetite and you'll just go home and get your concordance out or just begin to run some references and look at some of these Jehovah titles. Exodus 15, this is a wonderful, wonderful title of the Lord. It's something you need to know about God, and I need to know about God, because there's going to be a time in every one of our lives, just like there's a time that we need to know that God has provided the sacrifice, we need to know this about God too. And I'm glad God has revealed and manifested himself to me over and over again in this way right here. See if he has for you. Look at in verse chapter 15 of the book of Exodus. Look if you would in verse number 26. Exodus chapter 15, verse 26. Right toward the end of it, he said, I will put none of these diseases. You see that? He's talking about what he's stricken the Egyptians with, and he's telling the children of Israel, he said, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am, and here he is, see that word Lord in all capital letters? That's Jehovah. Here's a Jehovah title. It's Jehovah Rapha. If you'll go home and look at that healeth thee, it's Rapha, which means I am the Lord that healeth thee. God said, I can heal you. You say, preacher, can God heal me? You better believe God can heal you. You say, can God heal my sick loved one? Yes, God can. The question is not can God, it's will God. We just talked about it tonight. Thy will be done. I never question what God can do. Amen. God can do anything, brethren. God can heal anyone of anything. It's not a matter of can God do it. It's is it God's will? And here, God said right here, I am the Lord that healeth thee. See, God wants us to know that he can heal situations in our lives. Now here, he's talking specifically about plagues and diseases in our lives. Now, I believe that probably everyone sitting here tonight has known someone in some way. It may be you, may have been a spouse, may have been a child, may be a family member, may have been a friend, may have been a church family that you attended church with, where God reached down and healed them in their life. God did a miracle in someone's life and healed them. How many of you know someone like that? Raise your hand. I want you to look around. Raise it high. Would you look around? Okay. You say, well, is it that must be a coincidence, preacher? It's not a coincidence. It's God. See, God manifests himself this way. Let's look at another one, okay? Turn over, if you would, to Judges. Judges chapter 6. This may be the last one. There's others that I'd like to give you, but I want you to go home and look these up. In Judges chapter 6, God again revealed himself. I'll give you time to get there. Judges chapter 6, and we're going to look at Judges 6, verse number 24. This again is a Jehovah title. God said, I want you to take my name in vain. I want you to know who I am. I want you to reverence my name. I want you to know that my name is excellence, and I want you to know some things about me through my name as I manifest myself to you. Judges 6, look if you would in verse number 24 of Judges chapter 6. We'll back up to verse number 23. It says, and the Lord said unto him, peace be unto thee. Fear not, thou shalt not die. Then Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord, capital L-O-R-D, there's Jehovah, and called it Jehovah Shalom. Well, we know what that is. That's peace. The Lord is our peace. God said, I will give you peace. How often in the Scripture does it say, fear not, don't be afraid? God gives peace. He's the Prince of Peace. Jesus said, my peace give I unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So what are we being told here as we go back to Deuteronomy chapter 5? We're being told that God's name is descriptive. Over 300 descriptions of who God is through his name. And God said, you ought to honor my name. You ought to, what have we been talking about just out of the model prayer? You ought to hallow my name. Hallow it. Reverence it. Not degrade it and desecrate it. Don't speak lightly about it. Honor it, right? Use God's name in an honorable way. So let's be careful, all of us. Let's be careful not to desecrate or to use God's name in a dishonorable way. So here's what I'd like to do. I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you, and I want to also accept the challenge. Let's just use more biblical talk. When's the last time you said, praise the Lord? So, preacher, I don't say that. Why not? Are you saved? Why wouldn't you say, praise the Lord? You know, if you're not saying it, you might not be practicing it. And I'm not judging you. You may not be praising the Lord. Why wouldn't you say, praise the Lord? See, the same devil that wants you to use God's name defamely doesn't want you to use good Bible talk in your life. You ought to say amen every day. Especially on Wednesdays and Sundays. But you ought to say amen every day. Amen ought to be a common word in your household. Listen, when you get out in the world and say amen, people look at you kind of strange. I've had some great opportunities to witness by saying praise the Lord in public. They just kind of look at you like, what? What'd you say? I said praise the Lord. That's what I said. Amen. I don't get mean and, you know, I don't want to fight with them about it. I just let people know I'm a Christian. I'm not ashamed to be a Christian. Amen. You ever say hallelujah? Well, what would I want to say that for, preacher? I don't know. Why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you say hallelujah? You mean you don't say hallelujah? That's a good Bible word. We're Christians. We ought to be talking the language of Zion. Somebody say amen with me. Now say hallelujah. See how easy it is to say it after amen? You ever say glory? What's wrong with Christians these days? What's wrong with us? We've quit using Bible speech. Are we ashamed? I'm just asking. What's wrong? Are we teaching our children to say hallelujah? Your little babies ought to be running around the house saying hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Right? What do you want them saying? Blinkety, blankety, blank, blank, beep, bop, huh? What? Teach them right. If you don't, somebody's going to teach them wrong. We're Christians. Let's clean our language up. You say, preacher, you saying we're cursers? I'm not saying anything. I'm just saying as Christians, we ought to be using the speech of Zion. We're God's people. We ought to be talking like this book speaks. Amen. Good words. Y'all not allow profanity in your home in any form. Profanity is a sign of ignorance. Look the word up. Profanity is a sign of ignorance. You say, well, you talk like you know something about that. I had to learn a whole new vocabulary when I got saved. I lost 50% of my words when I got saved. Right? I'm not proud of that. I'm shooting straight with you. So I'm not standing up here like I don't know what I'm talking about. I know what this book teaches. I know what God can do in someone's life when he cleans them up and saves them in his grace. He changes their heart and he changes their mind and he changes their actions and he changes their speech. Amen. He puts amen in their mouth. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That's right. I'm not be ashamed of those things. I used not to be ashamed to say some other things. Said it loud so everyone could hear it. Thought it was cute. It's ignorant. Profanity is ignorance. If you use profanity, you ought to be ashamed of yourself, especially if you call yourself a Christian. That's right. Don't use the name of the Lord in vain now. Don't take the name of the Lord in vain. Don't you take the name of the Lord and put it on your life and say, I'm a Christian, and then get out here and talk gutter. Now, that's not right. You're misrepresenting God, and you're misrepresenting what a Christian ought to be. So I pray that you would just really give that some thought now and ask God, now, God, would you help me to change the way I speak and the way I talk? I don't want to use that kind of language. I don't want to do that anymore. You say, well, preacher, what am I going to do when I stump my toe? I don't know. Hold your breath. Amen. Squeeze your finger. I don't know. But don't say that. What's the Bible say? Let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. You shouldn't have to pin God's name on it to get somebody to believe you. If you do, there's something lacking in your character. And I'm just telling you now. Oh, you got to believe me. I swear to... I don't want to hear that. Don't you attach God's name on that statement. If I can't believe you for what you're telling me, then me and you's got some things to work out. Right? You don't have to swear to him. You don't have to say, honest to... don't say that. Don't need to hear that. That's you. Listen, that's taking God's name in vain. Don't put God's name on that. God doesn't want you putting oaths to his name. Is that what the scripture teaches, brother? So let's be careful. It can happen. I'm not saying you're a dirt. I'm just saying let's be careful. The devil wants to get us here. All right? So, description. Number two, I talked about it. Desecrating God's name. Desecrating God's name. Watch your words now. Watch your words. Watch what you let go in your ears. All right? Usually the things that go through your eye and your ears end up in your heart. And then they come out your mouth. Is that right, brethren? Come on now. We're adults. We've been doing this for a while. We know, listen, the Bible says we're not ignorant of the devil's devices. So be careful. Listen, I know I talk about my grandmother a lot, but my grandmother, how many of you know what lye soap is? Okay. All right, then I don't have to say any more. You get your mouth washed out with that one time, and I'm going to tell you right now, you'll think long and hard before you say another one of them words around grandma. Amen? On a serious note, watch your language. Watch your language. Be cautious. Don't allow music and programming and media that has that kind of language. Don't allow it, brethren. It'll creep into your mind and it'll get in there and it'll try to find its way out now. So be cautious. Be careful. I'm just saying. Be careful. I'm saying it in love. Be cautious. Be careful. And then finally, I want to talk to you about the final thing. Description. God's name's a wonderful name. I wish I could go through here, and I hope you do. I hope you go home and just start looking at his name. God said, don't take my name in vain now. It's very serious. God expects us to honor him. That's right. God expects us to honor him and to reverence him. Did you know that that's one of the reasons I don't go by the name Reverend? Psalm 111 verse 9 says that the name of God is reverent. No man should be reverent. That's right. It's God's name. Write it down. Psalm 111 verse 9. It's in the book, brethren. We need to be cautious about these things. The devil and man will try to slip things in to get us to defame God's name and not even realize it. So we have to be cautious. Description. Then defame and desecrating God's name. Be serious about it. Know what you're saying. Realize people's watching. When you say you're a Christian, there's a standard that God expects us to live up to. Is that right? Do you expect your preacher to live up to a standard? Would you be okay with me coming in here with my hair in a ponytail? You all right with that? Would you? With a biker jacket? I'm not saying that there's anything. Listen, if a man's got a biker jacket, that doesn't mean that he's immoral. I'm just saying, would you be okay with that as me as your preacher? You've got to think about these things. Would you? Say, it wouldn't bother me, preacher. Okay, you sure? You're out with people standing up over there singing in bikini bathing suits? You got to draw a line somewhere. You listening to me? I don't like it when people draw lines. You better get used to drawing some lines. Because everybody draws a line somewhere. Amen. Everybody draws a line somewhere. We may not draw the line in the same place, but everybody draws a line. Is that right? Yes. So I don't think you'd be okay with me coming in here with a biker jacket and you know with a cigarette hanging out of my mouth and saying, hey, what's up, dudes? We're going to talk about the man upstairs tonight. You all right with that? I sure hope not. I sure hope not. The man upstairs, who's that? Is that someone who lives in your house? It's not God. Amen. Hear me now. So, preacher, I think I may have said that about God before. Well, you know, I've used that term with God until God smote me in my heart and I learned better. It's okay to learn, isn't it? It's okay to learn and change, right? We should know more now than we did when we first got saved. So don't take this as, well, you know, they judge people. Everybody judges people. Don't get me started on that. I'm not afraid to judge somebody. I just want to make sure I'm judging righteous judgment. Because what judgment I judge is going to be meted back to me. I'm going to be held to that standard. We ought to, amen. So let's be careful about this thing with God's name and who God is and how we approach Him. We don't approach God flippantly, right? We approach God reverently. We have to be really careful, really careful. There's a name that God has that's the greatest name of them all. You know what that name is that God has? The Bible tells us. It's the greatest name that God has. God goes by many names. But there's one name that's above all names. Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Sweetest name I know. Fills my every longing. Keeps me singing as I go. At the name of Jesus, brethren, you listen to me. One day now, I want you to hear this. You know it. And it's real. It's coming to pass. When God has set up His kingdom in the person of Jesus on this earth, and when evil has been staunched, and when Satan has been bound, and when the kingdoms of this world become the kingdoms of God, and when all the kings shall march in and bow down at the feet of Jesus, one day every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess of things in heaven, of things in earth, and of things under the earth. To the glory of God, that Jesus Christ is Lord. Every knee is going to bow, every tongue is going to confess, brethren. There's no name. Wherefore, the Bible says, God hath also highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, that's the name. Can I tell you, at the name of Jesus, I have literally seen drug addicts cleaned up. You listening to me? Amen? Well, that's good for what ails you. Amen? I've seen drunkards dried up at the name of Jesus. At the name of, I have seen immorality made pure. I've seen it. I've watched it with these eyes. I mean, I've stood in amazement at what has been done in my presence in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Jesus makes a difference. He makes a difference. I've seen people's hearts so heavy with sorrow. Listen, they didn't know if it was going to be able to go on. They've told me, preacher, I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to be able to move on from this. Take the name of Jesus with you. Child of sorrow and of woe. It will joy and comfort give you. Take it then, wherever you go. Precious name. Oh, how sweet. Hope of earth and joy of heaven. Precious name, oh, how sweet. Hope of earth and joy of heaven. Jesus makes all the difference. Doesn't it? What do you need? You know someone that needs a fresh touch? You know someone that needs some help? They need change. They need direction. They need healing. They need deliverance. At the name of Jesus, all of that is available. Declare his name, okay? Declare it. Get out there and tell people about Jesus. And God, help me to do the same. I want to tell people about Jesus, and I believe you do too. So he said, now don't take my name in vain. Don't take my name in vain. Know who I am. Know what I can do. That's the description. Then he said, now don't desecrate my name. Don't do that. Don't speak lightly and frivolously. Don't do that. Declare my name. Get out there and tell people what God has done through Jesus Christ. When's the last time you led someone to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ? When's the last time you told someone about Jesus? You ought to be telling people about Jesus regularly. Has he done something for you? He has, hasn't he? Then we ought to be telling others what he will do for them. Let's all stand. It is no secret what God will do. What he's done for others, he'll do for you. Don't take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. It's serious, isn't it? Sometimes we just take things so lightly and we just kind of approach things so casually and just, I don't know. If we're not careful, brethren, we'll let our guard down. And we'll become something that God will not honor. I'm amazed, and God has reminded me of this regularly. He just does. Maybe he doesn't you, I don't know. But God has a standard. And I'm not going to let these people run around and tell me, well, it doesn't matter what you wear. You sure? I think it does. If it doesn't matter what you wear, then you go to work naked tomorrow. Well, it doesn't matter what you wear. You sure? I think it does matter what you wear. It doesn't matter how you approach God. I think it does matter how you approach God. Amen. It does matter how you approach God. And we don't want to let our standard down now and just start approaching things all casual and nonchalant and flippantly to where we just think, well, God's got to take us. We are such and such. God doesn't have to do anything. God has a standard. He said, I want you to keep my standard high. And by the grace of God, I want to do that. I believe you do too. Keep your standard high in your home. Keep your standard high in your heart. And let's together work to keep the standard high in the church. God expects some things of his people. Father, help us.